I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. It is time for sports, and that means Tony Cox is in the house. Hey, Tony.
Hey, Farai.
So I understand today, instead of just talking about sports, you're also talking about sports bloggers?
Well, that's right. And you know why? Because the relationship between old school sports journalism and new school sports blogging is like an arranged marriage, and both sides are still feeling each other out, sometimes with not so pleasant results. So we're going to examine that with a couple of people who are on the inside of both worlds. We've got Roy Johnson, who is vice president and editor-in-chief of Men's Fitness Magazine and a longtime print journalist with a stint at Sports Illustrated and elsewhere. And we've also got D. Will, who is one of our regulars on the Sports Bloggers Roundtable. He writes for the blog Sports On My Mind. Hey, fellas.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, how are you doing,
Tony?
It's good to have you both here, and I think that you are both particularly well situated for this discussion. As I said, the issue of whether sports bloggers are elevating and expanding the discussion of sports and media, or are merely contributing to its downfall with uninformed, poorly written, often obscene posts, is certainly being talked about, and a lot. In fact, there was quite a nasty exchange recently on the Bob Costas HBO show Costas Now. It featured Pulitzer Prize-winning author Buzz Bissinger and Will Leach of Deadspin.com, no pun intended, which has a reputation for being one of the more notorious websites. Now, here's a snippet from that show. Costas is speaking with Will Leach of Deadspin.
There are a number of sports blogs that are well-written, make good points, are insightful, and are funny. But there's a very large percentage that, where the quality is poor and where the tone is abusive.
Yeah, and frankly, those are not the ones that are most widely read. I think the nice things about the web is it's a meritocracy. Like, sure, anyone can start a blog, but to get a readership, you have to be serious, you have to be consistent.
So, Roy, the main criticism of sports bloggers from what we'll call traditional journalists is that bloggers have little or no credibility, no oversight. They say things, usually mean-spirited things, without facing any consequences for what they post. I leave anything out?
Well, Tony, that seems to be the argument, and I vociferously disagree. First of all, I don't like generalizations. When you first began describing...
Let me interrupt you, ask you to start that again, because we had a little technical problem. I didn't hear the beginning of your answer. So go start it again for us, Roy, if you can.
What was the question?
Well, the question is, did I leave anything out in terms of talking about the criticism that is directed toward sports bloggers?
You didn't leave anything out, Tony. But what's interesting is that a lot of those same criticisms have often been levied at general sports journalists. You've got the good and you've got the bad. And what I don't like in any description is gross generalizations. It's interesting, in your introduction, you talked about old school journalism versus new school blogging and it being an uncomfortable marriage. I guess I am married to myself, because beyond my number of years in traditional sports journalism, I am also now blogging for Yahoo Sports. About a year ago, I started my own sports blog called Ballers, Gamers, and Scoundrels. So I'm straddling both worlds. And I think what you have is what Will described totally as a meritocracy. There are a number of bloggers who are uninformed, who perhaps use language that we wouldn't use either in print or on the web, but they have a right to opinion. These are the same people who were in the bars, are yelling at televisions for generations, talking about sports. Now they have a forum to do that, and it just remains to be seen whether anybody is really listening.
Well, D. Will, do we need to use new eyes to judge this new journalistic technology? And also, do you think this is helping or hurting in terms of building a wall between athletes and fans?
Well, I don't think that we need new eyes. What we need is a true meritocracy, actually. The blogosphere is a reflection of our society. Sports blogosphere is largely white. Young white men who are commanding the internet waves. There are people like Roy who do great jobs on their blogs and can truly make a difference. A lot of people who are trying to do journalism on a blog aren't heard, actually. And the more outside of mainstream opinion you are, the less you're heard. And I think, though, that all in all, I don't think that it breaks or builds any walls between athletes and press. I think it actually breaks them down.
Really? Do you agree with that, Roy?
Well, it's interesting. A lot of athletes are blogging themselves. Everybody right. knows about Gilbert Arenas, but there are of the Washington Wizards, but there are plenty of athletes who are tech savvy as their peers of their generation are as well. They walk around with laptops. They are engaged in the internet. So I totally agree. I think it has broken down a bit of that wall that began to emerge 10, 15 years ago when athletes and reporters who covered them were more separate. You know, back in the day when I covered sports, we pretty much traveled on the same buses and then oftentimes on the same planes. That doesn't happen anymore. So there was a greater wall built up that is now being broken down by some of the technological advances that allow people to get online and dialogue with each other.
Well, Will, let me put this question to you. Have you ever tried to get a credential to cover a sports event as a blogger? And what happened if you did, or did you think you even need to do that?
Yes, I did. I have tried to get credentials, and actually no one has ever returned an email or a phone call for credentials. And I was originally in the mainstream when I was much younger and left, and now am returning to writing. And so I do have a history within mainstream journalism, and I still cannot get credentials just with sports on my mind at all.
Sports is still trying to figure that out. Part of it has to do, and I don't think this is a total justification, with space. There are so many more bloggers out there, and also their inability to determine, for lack of a better term, who is a credible blogger. So many have made the blanket determination that they just want credential bloggers, which I think is changing every day. You may or may not be aware of the case in Dallas where Mark Cuban, late during the season, decided to ban local bloggers from the locker room. He said it was just getting too crowded, and in part he may not have agreed with something some of the bloggers were saying. He was spammed quite a bit and ultimately changed his mind. So I think you're going to see more and more of that as we evolve, and probably sooner rather than later.
Would you be in favor, Roy Johnson, of there being some sort of, and I don't know what it could be necessarily, some sort of check and balance for bloggers who are writing about sports in terms of what they are able to get away with?
I think there should be a check and balance for all journalists. I recently did some teaching and was surprised at how the level of writing and understanding of journalism ethics had diminished over the last few years. So I was concerned that young people coming into the industry may not be coming in with the same level of talent, maybe same level of teaching and understanding of the business as some of their predecessors. So, you know, when it comes to standards, I think, yes, they should apply across the board, whether it is to journalists who are working for traditional media or for bloggers as well. Yes, there always has to be some sort of standards. Otherwise, there is total chaos.
How can you bring a standard about, though, D. Will, for bloggers?
Yeah, that that is the problem, is bringing about a standard. That's just what I was thinking about. How do you do it if you're a team or a league and a blogger, quote unquote, is petitioning you for a press pass? Do you have to look at their work first? And then how many bloggers do you have to look at? It's a really thorny issue. I do believe that as more and more bloggers become affiliated with mainstream journalism, offshoots of newspapers, offshoots of magazines or sports media outlets, I think that that will be able to be handled better. But for now, that's really difficult to judge.
One more blogger. Oh, go ahead, Roy.
It's difficult. One of the metrics that were used years ago to determine whether local media here in New York were credentialed was just circulation size. And you know, there are metrics now that measure traffic, for instance.
But unfortunately,
it's not totally accurate, but there
right.
are things you can begin to put in place to determine whether someone can get credentialed.
Unfortunately, popularity is not quite necessarily worth, and journalism ethics and stuff like that, they don't quite correlate, as Deadspin can attest to.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to one other topic in the time that we have left. Two, if we can squeeze them in. First, it's Kobe Bryant. He's finally done it, awarded the Most Valuable Player Award yesterday. But, you know, here in L.A., believe it or not, people are still wondering how much he is liked because of the baggage that he has carried from the Colorado trial, the Shaq breakup, and, of course, his demand to be traded at the beginning of the season. Now, it may all be forgiven, given the Lakers' run into the playoffs so far, but, Roy, it doesn't appear to be forgotten. What do you make of him as an MVP choice?
Well, the easy answer to your question is I would have put Chris Paul first, but I applaud Kobe Bryant for his award, winning that award for the first time. As to whether he still has any baggage, I would say absolutely not. You cannot win this type of award unless, for, you know, right or wrong, you have overcome a lot of those image issues. You know, the people who vote for that award often are clouded by their personal views regarding an individual athlete. So I would say that in some other years where Kobe Bryant may have played as well, he probably wouldn't have gotten this recognition. Also, you want to look at jersey sales. I mean, he remains the leader worldwide among jersey sales. And when you watch the Lakers are now one of, if not the most popular teams to watch on television, and people aren't tuning in to watch Pau Gasol. They're tuning in
to watch Kobe Bryant.
So I would say, you know, relax, L.A. The concerns about whether he's gotten past it should be allayed by not just this award, by other measurements as well.
One other person who had some baggage, who is now claiming that that baggage is keeping him from playing, is Barry Bonds, who says nobody wants him or his bat this season, and he is out of work still. Sports Talk Radio and, of course, the blogosphere are bandying about the possibility of collusion by Major League club owners against him. You buy any of that, D-Will?
Yes, absolutely. Barry Bonds did have a 48% on base percentage last season, and that says it all. There are many teams that need a DH, and that Bonds isn't even talked about is insane to me. The MLBPA, the Major League Baseball Players Association, in fact, is asking to look at the books of off-season movement, particular with Bonds only right now. They do that every season with players, but this year they want to look at Bonds specifically.
D. Will, I love what you say, but I'm going to respectfully disagree and maybe put us all in position of an owner. You know, while many teams might need a bat, Barry Bonds is more than a bat. Right or wrong, he brings along with him all of that baggage. We talked about Kobe Bryant not having any more. Well, it's all got BB on it now, Barry Bonds. He carries a negativism that I'm not sure if I'm an owner, I want to bring to my stadium. I also don't know how good of a teammate he is. Yes, he has some supporters among some of his past teammates, but there's also detractors. So, you know, having a team is a delicate balance. And in this time when baseball is trying to get past the steroid era, yes, he's never failed a test, but that cloud hovers over him. He has not been the kind of teammate that would be ideal, and you don't know what you're going to get in that circumstance. Plus, his play in the field is not something that you can rely on. So, collusion, collusion means they all got together and decided not to do it. I'm not sure if I'm an owner if I would want to take that risk.
All right, guys, we're out of time, unfortunately. There's a lot that we could talk about. We'll have to revisit this topic when I have you both back, and we can talk about what you're going to be blogging about in your respective blogs today. D. Will, Roy Johnson, thank you both very much.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Tony.
Bye-bye, D. Will.
Take it easy, Roy.
Joining us today was Roy S. Johnson, and he's the vice president and editor-in-chief of Men's Fitness Magazine, plus D. Will. He writes for the blog Sports on My Mind and spoke to us from Vermont Public Radio in Colchester, Vermont. And, of course, NPR's Tony Cox was with me here at NPR West.